It's so good to be with so many of you this evening to begin this sacred Paschal Triduum. This is my first Triduum here in quote-unquote normal times. The very first Easter was the COVID Easter of 2020. So we give thanks to God for bringing us to the point where we are right now, and we ask his blessing upon all who continue to suffer and are ill, and we ask him to continue to hold us in the palm of his hands. I think one of the deepest mysteries of our faith is the way that God entrusts himself to human beings. You think all the way back to the beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis, when the author describes creation. God creates the world out of nothing. Nothing existed. And God creates in order to share himself with his creation. And then in the pinnacle of creation, God creates Adam and Eve. He creates man and woman. And we're told he creates them so that he can have an intelligent being, another intelligent being, on whom he can bestow his love, and who can then love him in return. Then you go all the way through the Old Testament, the story of the Jewish people. Think about Abraham. Abraham was called by God. God had a mission for Abraham. And he told Abraham that because he put his faith in him, because he believed, his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And then down through Abraham's descendants, Isaac and Jacob, God continues to call his people to himself, call his creation back to himself. And then when his creatures, his people find themselves in slavery in Egypt, he calls another human being to help, Moses. And he says, Moses, I'm sending you to set my people free. God entrusts a human being with this tremendous, tremendous task. And what Moses does becomes a great foreshadowing of what Jesus will do in the Passover. We hear in the first reading tonight about that first Passover. And when we hear it described to us, it's liturgical in its sounding, the various rules and prescriptions that they had to follow. That through that Passover, God was going to save them. The avenging angel would pass over his own people, and they would be able to be brought to life. God has a great mission for Moses. He entrusts himself to him to save his people. And then we come in our salvation history to the greatest moment of God giving himself to human beings in the incarnation, when God is made flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mother, and then he is born. God fully entrusting himself to human beings, so much so that he took the human condition onto himself and was born as we are. See, my friends, this is God's chosen way to interact with us, to interact with his creatures. Sure, he could intervene in all sorts of extraordinary ways. Did he need Moses to free the Jews from slavery? Certainly not. Could he have called the people to follow him without Abraham? Sure. Could he have saved us in some other way than God becoming man? Yes. But this was his chosen way to show how close he is to each and every one of us. And this is how God continues to act with us. Yes, we believe in extraordinary interventions. We believe in miracles. But the ordinary way that God interacts with us is by entrusting himself to us. And as we come tonight to celebrate this Holy Thursday Mass, this evening Mass of the Lord's Supper, we begin what we call the Sacred Paschal Triduum, the celebration of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. And in this celebration of the Paschal Triduum, we see this plan of God, this preferred way of interacting with us. We see it in an extraordinary way. We see so many ways in which God will entrust himself to man. Jesus gives himself over to men, and he performs the most wondrous of miracles, the salvation of all, each and every one of us. So tonight we celebrate this Mass of the Lord's Supper. And at this Holy Thursday Mass, we commemorate these three great mysteries that the Lord gives to us tonight. The mystery of the Eucharist, the mystery of the priesthood, and the mystery of this command to serve one another. As St. John opens up his gospel, we heard Deacon Marty read it for us tonight, proclaim it for us. St. John says that Jesus loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. Yes, he's talking about the apostles there at the Last Supper, but he's also talking about all of us. Jesus loves us and loves us to the end. That's why he did what he did, why he gave himself over for us, to demonstrate that love to the end. And tonight, in this Last Supper, we see a friend sitting down with his friends. In fact, later on at the Last Supper, Jesus will say to them, "No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Jesus called his apostles friends, and he calls all of us friends. And as he sits down with them, he knows that he's preparing to leave, to go to his passion. This is a friend who wants to give his friends something to remember him by, a gift. And don't we do this ourselves in our lives? If we have a very good friend and for some reason that friend or ourselves are moving very far away, we might give them a gift, a memento, a picture, something by which when they look at that thing, they remember your friendship. Well, what greater gift could Jesus give his friends than the Eucharist, the gift of himself? The Eucharist is the gift of Jesus himself to his friends. So that when we look at that Eucharist, when we receive that Eucharist, it's God himself entrusting himself to us in the form of bread and wine, to be our food. It's a friend giving something us so that we can remember his love. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. And the Eucharist is the reminder of that. Jesus entrusts himself to each and every one of us when we receive Holy Communion. And in order to give that gift of the Eucharist, to give the gift of himself to his friends, Jesus also instituted the gift of the priesthood at the Last Supper, the ministerial priesthood. Jesus washes the feet of the apostles, these frail human beings. All but one would scatter. One would betray him. All of the rest would run away when times got tough. These were the first priests, the first bishops. Jesus entrusted himself to frail and weak human beings and gives them the gift of the priesthood in order to give the gift of the Eucharist, the gift of himself to us. He gives us priests to act in his person, to act in the person of Christ, that when the priest acts, Jesus acts. It is as if Jesus himself were saying those words. And so that gift of the priesthood continues down through the centuries, from the apostles to their successors, down even to our own time. And we are all too aware that God gives his gifts to fragile vessels, fragile human beings. St. Paul himself said that we hold our treasures in earthen vessels. All of us are fragile earthen vessels, priests included. And we are all too aware of the failures of various priests down through the ages. But we should also remember that there were really good ones too. Ones in whom the love of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus shone forth. Think about the Curé of Ars, or Pope John Paul II. And the myriads of priests, holy priests, who are known only to God. The priesthood is yet another way we see God entrusting himself to human beings, to very fragile human beings. I'm reminded of this every year on Holy Thursday. At the end of the Mass, when we take the ciboria that are filled with Jesus, the Eucharist, and we take it to the place of repose where we pray with him during the night, I, as the priest, have the privilege to carry Jesus in my hands. And I always wonder, why has he entrusted himself to me? Surely he could have picked somebody who was better, smarter, funnier, more eloquent, whatever, holier, certainly. But he entrusted himself to me for some reason that he himself foresaw from all eternity. And then finally, that command of charity, the command to serve as Jesus served. So St. John gives his full Eucharistic teaching in the sixth chapter of his gospel. It's called the Bread of Life Discourse. And the story of the institution of the Eucharist was well known by the time John wrote his gospel. The earliest account of what happened at the Last Supper was actually tonight's second reading, St. Paul to the Corinthians. So the synoptic authors had told us about the Last Supper, and now John, when he comes to write his gospel, all of that is already recorded. So what he does is he tells us what happens after the meal. He tells us about the washing of the feet. And he does so for a very particular reason. It's because that act of washing the feet really symbolizes this entrustment of God to his people. Jesus is there and he takes off his outer garment, a sign of what happened in the incarnation. That in a way, Jesus takes off his divinity, and at the Last Supper, he puts the towel around his waist. He clothes himself, just as he clothes himself in our humanity. And then in this act of service, he washes the feet of his creation, God entrusting himself to human beings. And John focuses us on this washing of the feet and the command that, as I have done, you should also do. God came down from heaven to be the servant of our humanity, the Creator serving his creation and entrusting himself to us. In these awesome mysteries of this night, let us give thanks to God for entrusting himself to all of us, to earthen, fragile vessels. And as we see the washing of the feet played out before us here in our sanctuary, remember how Jesus came to serve you and to save you and to wash your soul in his blood. then as we walk with Jesus together tonight to that place of repose at the end of Mass, remember that he remains with us always, even until the end of the age.